In Parshas Vayakel, there's a significant difference between the order of the mitzvos that are mentioned in this week's Parsha and the order, the same mitzvos that are mentioned in last week's Parsha, in Parshas Kisisa. In Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Aleph 31:1, Hashem instructs Moshe about the building of the Mishkan. And then, Pasuk Yud Gimel, he instructs about the building of the day of Shabbos. First there's the instructions about the Mishkan, and then there are the instructions about Shabbos. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayakel, Moshe commands Bnei Yisrael about Shabbos, and then only afterwards about the Mishkan. So there's a switch. Last week's Parsha, we have Mishkan, and then Shabbos. And this week's Parsha, we have Shabbos, and then Mishkan. And the question is, why the switch? So I'd like to share three different answers to this question. And the final answer, I hope will be able to help us out very much in the last week of the Zman, propelling us forward into Bein HaZmanim. Answer number one is the answer of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi gives a mashal. He says, there's a father is marrying off his son, and he has to buy him clothing for the wedding. So there are different types of clothing that he has to buy. They're the basic, essential types of clothing that you need. Shoes, a shirt, pants, but the basics that everyone needs. And then there's like the extras, the cufflinks, a fancy tie, maybe a gold watch, extra. So if the father loves his son very, 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 very much, so he's all excited about the wedding and he's all excited about buying him these things, so he first goes to the watch store with him. Let's go buy a watch. Dad, I don't even have pants yet. That's okay. We'll do that afterwards. Let's get the watch. Because he wants to show how much he loves him, how much he cares about him, how excited he is about him. So he goes ahead and he goes to the non-essential stores first to buy him the extras. Afterwards, he goes buys the basics. If he's, you know, not so excited about his son or a little lower level, so he goes and buys him the pants. And then, of course, he goes ahead and buys him the extra stuff. Says the Beis HaLevi, the same thing is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. Between these two parshios, we had the Chet HaEgel. Before the Chet HaEgel, in Parshas Kisisa, when Hashem's love for us was very, very, very intense, we just came off of Matan Torah, the Jewish people went back to the level of Adam HaRishon before the sin. They were the holiest of the holy. So the chiba, the love that Hashem had for Klal Yisrael, was on a whole different level. And therefore, Hashem says, let me tell you about the Mishkan. Let me give you the Mishkan first. The Mishkan where I'm going to live with you. We're going to live together. That's the first thing that I want to tell you about. After, I'll tell you about the basics. Shabbos. Shabbos is a basic need. For example, in the Golos, in the exile, we don't have a Mishkan, but the Jewish people are still existing. But without Shabbos, forget it. We would disappear. We need Shabbos to keep us in check, to keep us in line. Shabbos is a basic necessity for the Jewish people. Mishkan is an extra bonus. And therefore in Parshas Kisisa, before the Chet HaEgel, when the love was so intense, our father Hashem came along and said, here's the gold watch first. Here's the Mishkan. After that, I'll tell you about Shabbos. We'll go down to the pants and the shoes. After the Chet HaEgel, when our level went down a little bit, Hashem still loved us like a son, but not in the same level of intensity. Hashem says, first Shabbos, and then the Mishkan. Answer number one. Answer number two is the answer of the Kli Yakar, which is understanding, an explanation that the Kli Yakar gives many, 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 many times throughout the Chumash. It's a theme, common theme of the Kli Yakar. I tried, I think, in Parshas Pekudei, in my Sefer on Chumash, tried to collect all of them. If anyone finds any more, please send them my way. The Kli Yakar has a different answer. He says that there's a fundamental difference between Parshas Kisisa and Parshas Vayakel. In Parshas Kisisa, again, where Mishkan came first and then Shabbos, that was Hashem instructing Moshe. Parshas Vayakel, and for the reason that it's repeated, is Moshe instructing Bnei Yisrael. Moshe is giving over what Hashem told him. Hashem tells Moshe about the Mishkan first, and then Shabbos. But when Moshe related to Bnei Yisrael, he pulled the switcheroonie. And first he mentioned Shabbos, and then Mishkan. Why did Moshe switch? So the Kli Yakar points out a very fundamental idea in relationships. And that is, when you're in a relationship with another person, you always want to try to honor the other person. You want to bring out the best of the other person. You want to let the other person go ahead and shine. And therefore, when Hashem is instructing Bnei Yisrael, he's instructing Moshe to tell Bnei Yisrael, he says, Mishkan, Mishkan's first. You know why the Mishkan's first? Because the Mishkan shows how incredible the Jewish people are. The Jewish people are fitting their roi for Hashem to live with them. That's what the Mishkan's about. Oh yeah, there's a cheda egel, there's a sin of golden calf, what you think that we don't have a relationship anymore? Mishkan, I forgave you, and I want to live with you. So Mishkan comes first. What's Shabbos about? Shabbos is about us testifying to how great Hashem is. Created the whole world. It's unbelievable. That's what we're supposed to be thinking about Shabbos. Our emunah is supposed to grow on Shabbos. Our belief in Hashem and our understanding of the world and Hashem's way of working in the world is supposed to intensify. It's all about testifying about Hashem's greatness. Hashem says, well, that's not as important. First, I want to tell you how great you are, that you deserve a Mishkan. Let's talk about that first. Then we'll tell you about Shabbos also. But then Moshe comes along and he's relaying this over to Bnei Yisrael. What does he put first? Shabbos. Oh, we have Hashem. Hashem is so amazing. Shabbos is so important. Not about us, how important we are. It's about Hashem. Oh yeah, by the way, secondary is how important we are and how great we are, that we're deserving of a Mishkan. The idea, of course, very important in all of our relationships. You might have both sides. There's a Mishkan and Shabbos. Both exist. But what are you going to put first? We always have to try to put the other person first. Try to highlight the other person. We're learning together with a chavrusa, and we both understand the Gemara. But I want to say to my chavrusa, it's because of your question that I understood the Gemara. Thank you so much for that question. It's all because of you. And your chavrusa should say back to you, it's all because of your answer. The way you clarified it at the end. We both did it together. But we all could bring out the positive plus, the unique aspect of our partner in our relationship, and try to praise. Hashem put us first, we put Hashem first. Answer number three. This answer is given by Rabbi Yo Diskin, who lives in Arzei Abira. I've quoted him before, Bit Tzadik, in the Sefer Nachal Eliyo. And he points out as follows. The Beis Halevi writes, the Kuzari writes, he quotes the Shem Yishmuel writes, and he writes, the Brisker Rav also said this. Now, what was the Chet HaEgel? How could it be that Jewish people messed up so bad? That's the question of the century. By the way, that was the question that was asked to the Kuzari. Like, how in the world can the Jewish people mess up like that? They just on Har Sinai. Now they worship Avodah Zarah, worshiping idols? Crazy, that's craziness. How could that be? So they all said the same thing. No way, they didn't worship Avodah Zarah. There was no idol worship here. They knew exactly that there was a God. No question about it. However, they believed correctly that the way our relationship was going to continue with Hashem was through some intermediary force. Till that point, it was Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was our guy that we went to. We gave it over. We saw Moshe go up. We saw Hashem speak to Moshe. We saw it. We believed in it. But afterwards, it continued through Moshe. In the future, it was going to be a Mishkan. That we go to the Mishkan to bring Karbanos, and go to the Mishkan to hear Hashem speak through the Kruvim. We go to the Mishkan to connect. And later in the future, it'll be in the Beis Medrash, in the shuls. That's how Judaism is set up. That we have places or people that we go to in order to be able to connect in a much more intense way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe was gone. He saw a vision, okay, the Satan mixed them up, but where's Moshe? There's no Moshe. So we need a place to connect. We love Hashem, we believe in Hashem, but we need to connect with Him. They were burning with a passion for God. So where's it going to be? Okay, so they made an Egel to be able to connect to Hashem through it. They weren't worshiping the gold. That wasn't the point. They needed a place that they connect to Hashem with. Okay, so they got the right hashkafa. They were right. So what was their big chait that we suffer to till this day? What was it? So they all explain because there was one small mistake. But it was big. And that was, they felt that they wanted to connect to Hashem, and they had this burning desire to connect to Hashem, but this wasn't the means of how Hashem commanded us to connect to Him. Feeling like you want to do something, even for good purposes, to connect to Hashem, is worthless. Unless Hashem said that this is an appropriate method of how to connect to Him, with a capital H. We need to know what did Hashem command, and through that, we will connect to Him. And that's why the Beis Halevi points out that in Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei, after, we have a lot of repeats from Chumen to Tzaveh, but the Pasuk keeps on saying, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe, again and again and again. What are we doing? Because that's the lesson they learned from the Cheda Egel. That if they're going to build the Mishkan, the only reason they're building the Mishkan is because Hashem said, I want you to build a Mishkan like this. And if you fulfill it, and you do it because this is what Hashem wanted, so then you're able to connect to Hashem in the greatest way. So that was the Chet HaEgel. That B'nai Yisrael had the good hashkafa, they had the good outlook, they had the good ratzon, they knew what they wanted, and they were right for what they wanted. But they didn't do it in the way that Hashem commanded them to perform it. And he gives a mashal. It's not a mashal, it's a true story, he says. There was a certain Rav in America, a very, very distinguished rabbi, super knowledgeable, huge Talmud Chacham, who had a shul. He was the rabbi of a community. And there was an 83-year-old man who 1 year before Yom Kippur was told by his doctors that you cannot fast. It is dangerous for you to fast. You could die. If you fast, you're going to die. And the guy said, I got to fast. Yom Kippur? I got to fast. There's nothing to talk about. So his children called the rabbi and said, you got to convince him. He's going to fast. He's really going to fast. He's not listening to the doctor. You got to convince him. So the rabbi went over to the old man's house, the hospital, know where it was, and he said, look, you know, you can't fast. He said, Rabbi, there's nothing to talk about. I'm 83 years old. I fast every single Yom Kippur of my life since my bar mitzvah. 70 years I've been fasting. There's no way that I can eat on Yom Kippur. And the rabbi's trying to convince him this way and convince him that way, and the guy is not budging. Nothing. He's not moving. So the rabbi says, look, you do whatever you want, but I'm letting you know, when you come back to shul, you're not getting an aliyah ever again in my shul. So, man, what? What does that mean? You give people in the shul that don't keep Shabbos, you give them aliyahs. You're not going to give me an aliyah? Seriously? So the Rav said, yeah, because you're an Oved Avodah Zarah. You worship idols. And the guy's like, what? What are you talking about? He said, it's very simple. He said, we have a mitzvah in the Torah, Nishmartem Ma'odon HaShoseichem, you have to take care of yourself. V'chai behem, you have to live by the mitzvahs, V'lo She'yamas behem, you're not allowed to die by performing the mitzvahs. If you say that you can't, you're not mesugal, you just can't bring yourself to eat on Yom Kippur, and you ignore what the Torah tells you to do, the Torah is telling you to eat on Yom Kippur, but you just, I can't do it. It's not who I am. So then that shows that for the last 70 years, every single time that you fasted on Yom Kippur, the reason you fasted on Yom Kippur was because you just can't bring yourself to eat on Yom Kippur. You just can't. Not because Hashem commanded you to eat on Yom Kippur. So you have a different Torah. You have a different religion. It worked out in practice that you do the same thing as us. But you were believing in yourself. You didn't eat because you can't bring yourself to eat on Yom Kippur, as opposed to not eating on Yom Kippur because Hashem commanded you to eat, not eat on Yom Kippur. And therefore, you will not have an aliyah in our shul. But that's the idea. Why is it that we do our mitzvos? Why is it that we want to daven? Why is it we want to put on our tefillin and our tzitzis? Is it because it's so cool. It's so exciting. Is that why? Or that helps. But at the end of the day, Hashem told us that this is the greatest way and the only way that you can connect to me. What are we thinking when we do these mitzvahs? So explains Rav Diskin. Imagine the Mishkan. Bnei Yisrael are told you're going to have a Mishkan. Wow! A place I just go there and I could hear Hashem. I could be so close. I could feel it. There are miracles there. It's amazing. This is amazing, right? If I tell you right now, guys, there's a Mishkan right now, you'd run out. Right here, right now. Even in the middle of the shoes, you'd probably run out. Right? You go, the Mishkan. We can get to the Mishkan. Amazing. It's exciting. Let's go. I want to build. Okay, what do you do? I'm going to build this. I'm going to build that. Okay, I know how to do this. I'm going to melt the gold. I'm going to build this. Everyone wants to get involved. Everyone's excited. They're burning with a passion. And then all of a sudden, there's a bang on the shtender. And Moshe Rabbeinu, whoever it is, says, stop. Stop building. And the guy, what do you stop building? We're building the Mishkan. We're almost finished. We're gonna have that relationship with Hashem. What do you mean stop? Because it's Chatzos on Friday, and it's time to go to the mikvah. You gotta start getting ready for Shabbos. Shabbos? Come on! 4.5 hours at least till we gotta still build and we can do it faster. We'll finish it earlier. We gotta go. Stop! You have to stop now, and you have to get ready for Shabbos. That's what you're supposed to do. That is going to be the biggest test. The people that are running to build a Mishkan because they can't wait because it's so exciting and it's so ooh. But they forgot that Hashem told them to build a Mishkan. It's going to be very hard for them to stop to get ready for Shabbos and listen to what Hashem wants them to do. And they're going to keep on going and going and going, and they might even go a little too late. The people that realize that, yeah, I'm so excited about building the Mishkan. This is amazing. I can't wait. And I'm so excited to do whatever I have to do to help out. But what's moving me and governing me, all my moves, is the fact that Hashem commanded me to build a Mishkan. Well, then if Hashem tells me, I want you to keep Shabbos now, and I want you to stop doing what you're doing, so of course I'm going to go ahead and stop doing what I'm going to do. Before the Cheda Egel, Parshas Kisisa, we were commanded about the Mishkan first. Because we were on such a high level, we had the ability to hear about the Mishkan and then afterwards still have a Shabbos. We were able to stop in the middle of Mishkan and experience we call Shabbos. Stop, just do nothing. After the Cheda Egel, where we messed up, and we lost track of knowing not to get caught up in inspiration, not to let inspiration take over and govern all of our actions, our thoughts, and anything that we're going to do. It was a big risk to say Mishkan first and then Shabbos. Because if Mishkan would have been first and we'd have gotten caught up in the inspiration, we would have messed up on Shabbos. And therefore, Moshe made the switch. And Moshe said, Shabbos first. Stop. Remember that Hashem is in charge. Hashem created the world. Hashem is what governs what we do and why we do it. And when you have that mindset, then you could go into building a Mishkan. This is very relevant, I believe, at least for myself, to the last week of the Zman. We in Yeshiva, we do it like before the Cheda Egel. We inspire first, and then you have a Bein HaZmanim. You don't start with a Bein HaZmanim to get ready for the Zman. First, you get all inspired, you get motivated, you get excited, you're accomplishing an amazing Zman. 5 hard months, almost every single Shabbos in Yeshiva. They haven't had that since like the days when they were in Europe. In, out, day in, day out, no distractions, pushing forward. We're inspired, we're motivated. Gung ho! Baruch Hashem, a super successful Zman. And then all of a sudden comes Shabbos. All of a sudden comes Bein HaZmanim. When you don't have that structure, you don't have the rabbis watching you and knowing if you miss Shachris, you miss the Halacha Seder, you miss this Seder. You don't have people as much on you. And you're freer. It's like a Shabbos. You're freer to, with less structure, to think and to learn other things that you haven't had the opportunity to learn, to review, to relax, to play ball, to see Eretz Yisrael, whatever it is that you're doing. But here comes the test. What was motivating us through the 5 months? Was it the great sushi at the Oneg? Was it the inspirational kumzitz? Was it the fact that I had an amazing shiur? Was that what's pushing me forward? Or at the end of the day, that all helped me. It all pushed me along, but it's the right thing to do. I found the MS. This is the lifestyle that I want. This is the way that I should be acting. This is it. What's the tester? Bein HaZmanim. I don't know if we're going to have a kumzitz Bein HaZmanim. I don't think it's going to be sushi Friday night at the Tish. So, are you still going to be able to have those siddurim? Are you still going to be able to daven in the best possible way? Of course, with a minyan. Of course, taking your time when you're davening. Or no, it's like break time. I'm like, my head's out. I got to do other things. What is our core? Where is it really at? And when you're successful in this Bein HaZmanim, which everyone in this room is going to be successful in, Bezos Hashem, amen. Then that is Megala, that reveals that all 5 months was all for the right reasons. It was all because this is the core. This is it. This is the truth. It's all there. And therefore, we have a bracha right now. Sunday, we have a whole week to plan how we're going to have the most successful Bein HaZmanim ever. What are we going to do? What are our projects going to be for learning? Everyone should have a project that they want to finish over the month. Where are they going to have their meals? Who their chavrus is going to be? Where are they going to end up davening? Plan. Don't just wake up Friday morning or Sunday morning and say, okay, let's figure it out now. Anyone who waits till Sunday morning to figure it out is guaranteed finished. I know from experience. And I mean experience of myself. It doesn't work that way. You have to be in planning mode. Okay, you have to maximize the last week for sure. But part of your day has to be thinking what is going to be afterwards. And maximize it. And if you want to know if the plan is a good plan or not a good plan, speak it over with your rebbeim. Am I pushing myself too much? This, that, okay, work it out. You have a week now, a full week to go through and figure it out to make sure that it's the right thing. And then Be'ezus Hashem, all of that inspiration that we've had and that we still have is going to carry us forward. We're going to be able to do it in a very, very significant way. And we're going to have an incredible, incredible growth month. It's not a month of just... I've said this before. Rav Shach writes in his Avi Ezri on the Rambam in the introduction. Rav Shach writes that he doesn't call it Bein HaZmanim. Bein HaZmanim means between the Zman, right? That means there's a time now and there's a time later after Pesach in the summer. Those are the times, and now we're in between times, which means that we're nowhere. It's a pretty bad word, I don't know whoever made it up. Bein HaZmanim means like you're nowhere. Doesn't make any sense. And he doesn't use that term. He uses the words Zman HaBeinayim. It's the time in between the winter and the summer. The month of Nisan is a time. It's an actual time where we all could grow and we all could be successful in things. It's a time that's in between the winter learning Zman and the summer we're learning Zman. It's not Bein the Zmanim. It is the Zman. It's the Zman HaBeinayim. That's what it's called. Rav Shach writes it by, like, agav. It's not even, that's not his point. He just talks about how he wrote the Svarim because they didn't learn Kutchim. It's in the introduction to Kutchim. So they don't learn that in Panovich. So he said, when did he write it? He wrote it in the Zman Abinayim, in the time in between winter and summer. So that's what we have. That's the opportunity that we have, an incredible opportunity of time to be able to grow and be successful and to carry all the inspiration that we have and to show who we really are, show our true colors. And Be'ezus Hashem, that is going to bring us to new heights, catapult us into the future, into the next month, when it's going to be even more successful and we'll continue to grow in the beautiful way that we've grown till today. Shavua Tov.